Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you so much for your kindness today to commemorate 10 years with you. I've often said when you look at any large church, you name me the church, I will tell you somebody stayed. You cannot have pastor turnover in a church grow. It won't happen. But you show me any large church, and I will show you somebody stayed. They went through thick and thin, ups and downs and sideways, and people leave you and all this kind of stuff. People come, but they stayed. Hallelujah. I don't know. This fits along with what I want to preach here this morning. Amen. So if you'll remain standing for just a moment. I do want to thank Brother Monzo and his wife and your sister there, because y'all campaigned for me when I came. You remember that? They had some campaign signs. It wasn't but about 10 people to campaign too, but they were campaigning. And they treated me wonderful. And I thank you for that. 1 Kings 8 and 8. Brother Manuel, good to see you with us. And next time you come, bring a song with you, would you please? I would appreciate that. If you come again, and Sister Gibson, if you weren't here this Sunday, Pastor's going to call you. I look for you over there. Amen. 1 Kings 8 and 8. Will you bear with me this morning? I want to give you my soul. And they drew out the staves, that the end of the staves were seen out in the holy place before the oracle, which was where God spoke, where the priest would then speak to the people. And they were not seen without. And there they are unto this day. And there they are unto this day. I want to preach for a little while, never more to Rome. Never more to Rome. Lord, I'm thankful for your mercies, thankful for your kindness, but perhaps most of all, I'm thankful for your long suffering. Hallelujah. Because if you would have been man, you would have cut me off. But as God, you are long-suffering and merciful. And even David said, thy gentleness has made me great. Greatness doesn't come from anger or strife or arguments. It comes from gentleness. And we thank you, Lord, for that today. In Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all got me all emotionally disturbed this morning. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. I'm going to anoint this handkerchief. Thank the Lord. I want to read some more of this, so just bear with me. I lay a little foundation here. In 1 Chronicles 17 and 1, and then we're going to go to the Kings. Now it came to pass as David sat in his house. You know, David was a roamer for a long time, right? He was just sojourner, but he finally got a house. That David said to Nathan the prophet, lo, I dwell in a house of cedars, but the ark of the covenant of the Lord remaineth under curtains. I've got a roof over my head. I got servants. I've got sealed rooms. I got privacy. I got all these things. But you know, the Lord, he still is behind some curtains. Now watch close. And Nathan said unto David, do all that is in thine heart, for God is with thee. I'm going to show you, a lot of times people consult with me, and then I have to go pray about it. But my first indicator, hey, brother, that's okay, go ahead. You know, this is real close. This is really good to understand this. When David told Nathan what he wanted to do, then Nathan said unto David, do all that is in thy heart, for God is with thee. I'm glad they wrote the next two verses. And it came to pass the same night that the word of the Lord came to Nathan. See, he was just saying what he wanted to say. Now the word of the Lord's going to speak to Nathan, saying, go and tell David my servant, thus saith the Lord. See, Nathan said it first, but he was wrong. That was as a man speaketh. He was speaking, hey, brother, whatever's in your heart, just do it. But then the word of the Lord came to him. And as a pastor, I never have to be ashamed to come back and say, hey, wait a minute. I know I told you that. And you can say, well, I thought you was a man of God all you want to. But sometimes I need to pray about it too. And the Lord spoke to him. Now you go back to my servant and say, thus saith the Lord. Not Nathan, not Brother Baggett, but the Lord said, thou shalt not build me an house to dwell in. What a change of events here. For I have not dwelt in an house since the day that I brought up Israel unto this day. Unto this, that's that same little words, and there they are unto this day. And here we go that I hadn't had a house unto this day, but have gone from tent to tent and from one tabernacle to another. Wheresoever I have walked with all Israel, spake I a word to any of the judges of Israel, whom I commanded to feed my people, saying, why have ye not built an house of cedar? Build me a house of cedar. Build me a stationary place. Now, let's go to, we see that David does not get to build the house because of the bloodshed. The sword never left his house over his event with Bathsheba. And now we find that his son Solomon will build the house, and now he has finished the house. So 1 Kings 8:1, then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes and the chief of the fathers of the children of Israel unto King Solomon in Jerusalem, that they might bring up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord out of the city of David, which is Zion. And all the men of Israel assembled themselves unto King Solomon at the feast in the month of Ethiam, which is the seventh month. And all the elders of Israel came, and the priests took up the ark. And they brought up the ark of the Lord and the tabernacle of the congregation and all the holy vessels that were in the tabernacle. Even those did the priests and the Levites bring up. And King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel that were assembled unto them were with him before the ark, sacrificing sheep and oxen that could not be told nor numbered for multitude. Woo! There was a lot, brother, of bloodshed that day. But all the shedding of the blood of bullocks and goats, if you could put it all in a vessel today, it would not do as much as one drop of Jesus Christ's blood. Amen. The Lamb of God. And the priest brought in the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord into his place, into the oracle of the house where the Lord speaks, to the most holy place, even the under the wings of the cherubims. That's where it was supposed to go. For the cherubims spread forth their two wings over the place of the ark, and the cherubims covered the ark and the staves thereof. It just overshadowed it, if you will. And they drew out the staves, that the ends of the staves were out in the holy place before the oracle, and they were not seen without, and there they are unto this day. And it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand and minister because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. And that is the way we read it, and I will tell you that's the way I read it, but I've missed it for many, many years until the Lord opened my eyes, and I want to reveal what I've just read to you, which you may not have recognized. Never more to roam. Amen. Buying a house or building a house, when a person builds a house, it's usually a sign that they are wanting to settle down. And especially when they start planting oak trees and pecan trees, and that usually means I'm ready to live here long enough to reap the benefit of settling down. Amen. When you see people move into a house and they don't put any landscape and they don't do it, they may not be planning on staying. And sometimes it's a sign of commitment when you see that tree go up. Hallelujah. When you see that slab being poured, it's not easy to pick up a slab or even a house on piers and say, I'm ready to leave. See y'all later and take off. It's a sign of permanency. It's a sign of stability. However, when you see a home on wheels, it's not a sign of settling down, but it's a sign of the ability to roam. And when you go, you take your home with you.
Believe it or not, you may not know it, but I too was trailer trash. I know what trailer trash is like. When I got out of dental school, the first place I lived was a trailer that my father rented out. I'm telling you, your roaches was just, you couldn't. I'd wake up in the middle of the night to be on my neck sometimes, literally. You know how that feels? You don't? Let me catch some. I'll bring it to your house. Oh, it's terrible. You wake up, and I didn't dare tell my wife sometimes because, oh, we'd have never went back to sleep that night. But I know what that's like. But I also remembered the day that I said, I think we can build a house. I count the coins. I'm ready to settle down. Hallelujah. There's two basic styles of living, even in the Bible as it is today. They had what they call sojourning. And then that was where you roam aimlessly from one temporary place to another place that you would live for a little while. But then they had what's called a dwelling place. It's a place where it's a habitation. The Lord inhabits the praise. We are His dwelling. We are the temple of the Lord. And it's not changed much in this 21st century. Even in the Bible days, they had sojourners and they had dwellers. We still have that today. We have sojourners and we have dwellers. And these sojourners, they just roam from one place to another. I call them Romeo. They just roam from one place to another place. They never settle down, and they live, as we said before, pillar to post. You ever heard that before, from pillar to post? Because when they get to a place, they say, oh, I'm going to put down some roots. And they think it's going to be a pillar. But when they leave, they call it a post. So they have lived from pillar to post. And they just go to another place. Oh, this is where I needed to be all along. And they say it's going to be a pillar. And they leave, they just call it a post. It just hitched up the horse, and then they're gone again. And they never settle down. And usually those people have nothing in their life worth mentioning that they have accomplished. No. They are transient in their life. They're transient in everything almost that they do. They're not stable in any way. And you begin to wonder about these people. When will this end? When will it ever end? And in order sometimes to convince people to stay at a place or to buy into a business or to do business with them. You ever see these commercials? 30 years of experience. 100 years of combined experience. You know, there's 50 employees and all got 2 years. 100 years of combined experience. And established in 1985. They're trying to get you to understand we're not on wheels. We're not mobile. We'll be here. When you need us, you call us. Because you don't want to go, Dina, this number has been disconnected. They're trying to encourage you. We're stable. You don't want a pastor that's not stable, do you? You don't want a banker that's not stable, do you? You don't want a husband or wife that's not stable, do you? Amen. We all want to invest our time and energy in things that are stable. Amen. That's why they call it a horse stable. They tie them up there. And so a lot of times they will tell you the date of this establishment because they're wanting to establish in your mind the security of doing business with somebody that is free from failure, or they assume free from failure. And so when we look at an establishment, this building was established in such as, well, it may have roamed from here to here to here, but sooner or later there was a day of establishment. And the Lord wants to establish us. The Lord told Noah this. He said, but with thee I will establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons, thy wife, and thy sons' wife, with thee. The Lord was wanting to make an establishment with him, something that would last. And to Abraham, the Lord said, and I, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed forever. He says, I'm going to establish this with you. It's not going to be a temporary thing. And to Isaac, the Lord said, but my covenant will I establish with Isaac, which Sarah hath bear unto thee, and at the same time in the next year. And even to Moses said, I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrims, wherein they are strangers. Whereas they are roaming around, as they're wandering around, eventually they will come to the day of establishment. Plant some trees and get your garden going. Hallelujah. And all these things that are mentioned, all of these, Abraham had a pilgrimage at one time. Abraham had a roaming phase in his life. He looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. And they all had this roaming phase in their life. But sooner or later, bless God, you got to come to a place of establishment where you can be blessed of God. You will not be blessed until it is established. Oh, I'm going somewhere this morning. You cannot be blessed until it is established. That's why you take wedding vows. You're trying to establish a relationship. And you can't get all the benefit out of the marriage till you establish it. Oh, my God. Amen. Your children won't be blessed until you establish a relationship with your own lives between each other. And when you reach an establishment, then God can pour in the blessing. David was a man that left his father's house. He had seven other brothers, and they seemed like they must all still been at home, because when Jesse got there, they were all there. And he looked at all them to try to find a king among all them, and the one that was the king was in the field. And guess who left? The youngest left the house to go to a place where he could establish himself with the anointing that God had given him to become a king. And he thought when he got to the palace, things would be established. But it was only beginning his roaming days, if you will. Amen. And he would run from King Saul. There's no telling how many bridges he slept under. There's no telling how wet his garments got with the dew the next morning when he woke up. Roaming from a place, one place to another. But there come a day, amen, where he was established. David did not actually build his own house. No, he did not. It actually was built, and the Bible says in another place, it's prophetic, the sons of strangers. The sons of strangers built his house. Look at 2 Samuel 5 and 9. And David dwelt in the fort and called it the city of David. And David built round about from Milo and inward. And David went on and grew great. And the Lord of hosts was with him. This is right after he takes the Jebusites, and he's just establishing his authority. And God is beginning to bless him. And Hiram, the king of Tyre, sent messengers to David and cedar trees and carpenters and masons. And they, I want to show you something. And they built David an house. A man of the worldly kingdom began to pour finances into a man of God. And they built him a house. They built him a house. And David, watch this. And when they built him a house, and David perceived that the Lord had established, hallelujah, him king over Israel, and that he had exalted his kingdom for his people, Israel's sake. When that man built my house, I knew then that God had established me in the eyes of everybody. When you see men of the world beginning to contribute to the cause of God, then you can perceive that God is in this thing. Hallelujah. And quickly, Isaiah 60 and 10, and the sons of strangers shall build up the walls, and their king shall minister unto thee. For in my wrath I smote thee, but in my favor, this is a wonderful scripture, have I had mercy on thee. In my wrath I smote thee, but in my favor I have had mercy on thee. Therefore the gates shall be open continually. They shall not be shut day nor night, that the men may bring unto thee the force or the riches of the Gentiles, and that their kings might be brought. In God's wrath, many times he smites us, but in his mercy he lifts us back up to a higher, did you hear me? To a higher plane. He doesn't smite you and leave you there or put you back where you were at. In his mercy, he brings you to a higher level than he was when he smote you. Whew. Hallelujah. And when you begin to see the enemy to contribute to the cause of God, then you know that God is establishing something. It was when Jacob saw the wagons coming from Egypt. He said, my son is dead. Surely he's dead. And he said, you boys, y'all fool with me enough. I don't think he's alive. But when he saw the wagons coming from Egypt that was loaded, when he saw the enemy giving him stuff, he said, surely Jacob or Joseph is alive. And the Bible said, and the spirit of Jacob was revived. It was established. Oh, he is alive. I shall